Whoa.
Whoa.
All right. Hello and welcome to, hello and welcome to the Pony Developer Sync for today, June 1st, 2021. Rabbit, rabbit. Welcome to everyone who's here in person and everyone who's listening later to the recorded version of this. My name is Andy Turley. I will be your host today. Could everybody who's here just introduce themselves?
I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Gord Tischer.
I'm Jason Carr.
I'm Borja de Regil.
I'm Red Davis.
Great. With that, we've got everyone on board. So welcome to y'all. So the issues that we're going to discuss today are posted in the Pony Zulip in the Sync channel under the 2021-06-01 topic. So if you are here in person or if you are following along, you can go there to see the issues and links to those issues. So let's start as we usually do with the RFCs. We have one open issue, standard library, add an option for thousands separator to package format. That's 186. So I guess this is an issue to create an RFC. Does format not already support this?
I guess not. Okay. I don't know. I never use format because why would I want to format things?
Because you're a monster, Sean. okay.
Yes, I am.
I think this should... This shouldn't really be in... as an RFC issue.
Well, sure it would, in the sense of if this is not supported, then there should be an RFC to discuss what an API to do this would look like and the process by which we'd want to go about doing it. This would, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it should not just be somebody opens a PR and be like, hey, here you go. I solved that problem in the standard library. And I did it by, I don't know. I mean,
well, I agree with that. I guess I'm.
I don't know that I've ever used format.
Do we have any other comments on this besides, gosh, I haven't looked at format in a long time?
No, ever.
I only used to look at the binary representation of integers because I forget.
All right. Well, I guess if anybody, while we're talking here, wants to just double check and make sure that doesn't actually exist.
It doesn't. You can do a prefix. You can do precision, you can do width, alignment, at the beginning of the end to generate string, and a fill character. There is nothing for doing internationalization.
Okay.
And I would say that putting separators in is, hell yes, an internationalization thing. But, you know.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Which means that everybody should run screaming in the opposite direction until eventually we all meld into one culture with just a single way of doing things. And then it'll work itself out.
Or until we abolish numbers.
Ooh.
Don't lie, Sean. You're liking that idea.
I am.
Okay. Well, we'll leave that there unless somebody wants to comment further on commas, periods, or the abolition of numbers. All right. So that's it for RFCs. Let's take a look at PonyC. We have two open PRs. The first one is fixed code generation for variadic FFI functions on ARM64. That's issue number 3768.
So this would explain why when Dipin tried to set up the ARCH64 CI, it never worked. And we didn't move it over. Gordon, you did not move it over at all when we switched to CMake, correct?
I tried and it didn't work, so I abandoned it.
Yeah, so with this, we might actually be able to get that working because this could explain why it was just not working and nobody ever looked into it because we didn't have time.
Okay.
But nice. Wow. Yeah.
Look at that. Okay.
Oh, did you update this after the other one that I merged this morning, Borja?
Yeah, I rebased.
Okay, so then this can be merged now, yes?
Yeah, it was a bit disheartening to find errors on variadic functions after all the bans we did to make declarations mandatory and everything. I thought like maybe it was for nothing, but yeah, I'm happy it works. So yeah, I think it can be merged. There are a couple of other issues with variadic FFI functions in the code, like in the way that it was generated in it with no arguments. There are other issues when you have to compare FFI declarations with each other. So, but I can do that in another PR once I know how to fix that.
Cool. All right, I merged this and it's going in. Yay.
Okay.
And so do you think those other changes, so those other changes would be needed probably before I should try setting up CI for ARCH64? Yes?
No, I don't think so because most of the errors are having to do when you have conflicting declarations in two different packages. So that's not very common in the compiler. So yeah, no reason to wait.
Okay. Excuse me. So that should be good then. All right. Next one is work in progress update to LLVM 12.0.0. That's issue number 3745. Gordon, any comments on this?
Yeah, I found one obscure Stack Overflow thing that talked about problems with exception handling in ARM, but I haven't had time to investigate further.
Mm. Okay.
And that post claims it was fixed in LLVM 10, which is weird because LLVM 10 broke the ARM stuff. So I'll try to keep poking at it.
Okay. All right. PonyC issues. We have five of those. First one is seg fault on Linux at runtime. That's 3765.
Is that the val struct one? Yeah. I mean, I basically need a chance to talk with Sylvan about what the proper fix is, and then it should be fairly easy. Like, I can do a fix which may or may not be proper, but I'm just waiting because it's if this got this far, then a few more days until Sylvan gets back from holiday is not a particularly long amount of time to wait to fix it.
Okay.
So this was a surprising issue for me in the sense that changing the reference capability fixed the problem, or it caused the problem not to happen. And I thought that capabilities, like were not present at the runtime, but I guess they're and they are for some parts.
So they have an impact on the code which is generated and then whether you're doing GC on these particular, whether you need to like, what the GC strategy is, mm-hmm. right? That would be the easiest way to put it, because you have to do different stuff on if it's immutable.
Right.
So that's all handled at compile time, mm-hmm. right? So it's not there at runtime, but it's making a decision based on the capability for something that will happen at runtime. Mm-hmm.
So I guess if it's an ISO or a tag, then you don't need to track the object, right? Because you just can move the reference from one actor to the other. But if you have a valve.
Yeah, and we don't need to trace it to go down through it and see what it is, because like the ISO is a root, right? Mm-hmm. So that's nice. Whereas a val could have any unknown number of things under it, which we also have to account for as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And apparently nobody has ever stuck val on a struct.
Sorry. Yeah,
congrats, Red.
No, I just find it funny the things where it's like if you trod on the path that Wallaroo Labs did when building Wallaroo, you probably won't run into any issues. If you trod off that path, you might be in land that nobody's ever gone into before. Witness what happened to Red.
This is apparently my gift to humanity, is the ability to find the paths not trodden.
I remember 2016. There's a lot of trotting. Well, Red, thank you for...
You're welcome.
Thank you for trotting.
For trotting, for exploring space and being our brave little pupper.
I will confess I'm a little confused as to why things like the Pony Playground wasn't able to replicate. It was making me start to think that there was something that was specific to my environment. So I was a little curious as to why that could be.
I think that was because of the you needed the Pony GC initial flag. So you needed the GC to run as soon as possible, and in the playground. Like it was not running soon enough. So it was just a question of when, like if and when the GC would run, then you would hit the issue. But until then, you didn't know.
Gotcha.
Okay. Great. Pony C 0.41.1 OS 10 test failure on Big Sur. That's 3764.
This is from the homebrew folks. They haven't gotten back.
Okay.
Shocking.
Still waiting on that. Okay.
Could be waiting a long time.
Release 0.41.2. That's 3760. Note that release is targeted for July 2nd of this year. Next issue, with blocks with no else clause are desugared incorrectly, 3757.
Ooh. With blocks. There's a path very rarely trodden. Yep. I don't have anything to add to what was put on the issue already by other folks. You know, needs to be fixed. You know, I'm sure there are other bugs with as well, because, I don't think it gets much usage. There's nothing in the standard library that uses with blocks There aren't any of the Pony language projects which use with blocks. Wallaroo never used with blocks, I don't think, except maybe one or something. It's just they're not often used. I have seen a few people who use them, but generally they're done in the really seems to be really simple happy path cases only.
Yeah, I've only used it for files, like opening and reading a file and then closing it. And that's how I found this issue. Like, I think the path to the file was wrong or something like that. And then, yeah, that's how I found the issue. But I think I've only used it like twice, just for that.
For people who like that feature, I think it's a nice feature. Like part of my brain always wants to go for something that's rarely used. Go, we should remove it then. But, you know, I know from watching all the people correct my Python to make it better that the with block style thing is the thing that people really like. And I definitely like it more than defer and go.
Yes.
I've been writing a lot of Go, and one day I spent like 4 hours just playing around with how can I turn defer into a foot gun? And there are some amazing foot guns I could get out of defer. It was kind of fun.
Yeah. It's yeah. All right. This is not the, we will be nice to other languages.
I'm not being nice to it. I'm just saying that I think it's people want something to do this for them, and I can understand it. I like to actually manually close the files myself, but I recognize that that's not something that most people want to do. And the way that it works in Python with the with blocks, I think, has, at least from my experience with it, has far fewer foot guns than a defer type approach that that Go does. So. And the Pony one is very much like the Python with one. I think it's a case of, you know, needing to improve what's there in order to give people that who want that experience.
So just a small question though, would a sort of quote unquote fix to the try then type checking, would that be under an RFC or would that be a least surprise bug?
I would consider that a least surprise bug unless there's something very surprising about the fix, right? If the fix turns out to have broad, wide-reaching ramifications, then there should be some conversation, but that could potentially happen on a PR as well. To me, this is a bug fix, right? So I don't think it requires a PR. Gordon, Andy, disagree?
I think that sounds correct.
Yeah, that's free. Sounds good to me.
All right, that's basically a quorum.
All right. Let's see here. Infinite loops recursion are optimized incorrectly. 1930.
It's an old one.
I was going to say, getting back to some classics here.
I know. Remember when we used to make jokes about how we were approaching the current year? Yeah. We just blew by that a long time ago, man. I miss those jokes. Okay, only I made those jokes. Never mind.
Okay.
Did you report the original issue or something like this, Andy? I have to go open the issue.
No, I did not.
No.
God, I can't imagine the terrible circumstance I would have been in to have been the one to open that.
Yeah, so okay. The notes say that LVM 12 fixes it. I guess I have a question related to LVM 12. Is anybody using 32-bit ARM? I'm wondering if we should go ahead and merge LVM 12 and have another issue for trying to fix the both 32 and 64-bit ARM.
So I don't know if anyone is using it. But I think we in the past we've received some talks of people using the Raspberry Pi, but I think even that is 64-bit now.
That's 64-bit now, yeah.
I mean, there could be somebody with an older one, but I mean, if we're talking about we merge this, we pick up some fixes, it breaks a couple things, we state in, you know, the release note for the change, right, in a very clear and loud, you know, using like the marquee tag fashion, I think it would be reasonable to, you know, as long as we think, you know, the ARM fixers are coming along reasonably soon thereafter, I think it's reasonable.
Yeah, the only issue with that is that I have no idea how to fix ARM, so.
If that's the case, then we probably should figure it out before we merge it. I mean, what are we getting? What do we get out of merging now?
We fix this infinite recursion bug, and we get M1 support, I think.
But if it doesn't work on ARM64, you said it doesn't work on ARM64.
I thought Borja just fixed it on M1.
So we can talk about the M1 situation later. With LLVM12, it still doesn't work just fine, like everything. There are still some things to be fixed. I know with LLVM11, it works. I don't know why with one works and the other doesn't, but LLVM12 still needs a bit more work on my part.
So does anything break if we do the LLVM11?
There's a sec fault. No, there's no sec fault. There's an error with the cycle detector test that I haven't looked into. But everything else.
But ARM32 and ARM64 work. Yes.
I think. Yeah.
ARM32 is broken. I think, even with LLVM11.
Oh.
Okay. Well, it seems then that we shouldn't merge LVM12 yet. So.
I wonder if anybody's using ARM32. I feel like there was somebody who definitely was. Wasn't Nicholas? I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation. Didn't he talk on one of the times when he popped up in the Zulip about something that he was doing using the 32-bit Raspberry Pis for some work-related thing? Am I inventing a memory?
I remember something about Raspberry Pi in the past. Maybe a long time ago.
I mean,
I'm sure if we remove it, someone will come up and say, like, well,
I would say we have 4 weeks till the scheduled release anyway. So,
yeah.
So
let's maybe make a decision in a couple weeks, see where we are then.
Not to be too much of that bad guy, but I guess Raspberry 3 has been out for a while using 64-bit processor. So if he's using the 60, if somebody's using the 32-bit, they're using a Raspberry Pi 2, which is...
I have a lot of Raspberry Pi 2s.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm just saying that from a what do we need to support standpoint, I think you could make a reasonable argument that for a project the size of ours, trying to support hardware of that vintage may not be a priority. If it had been Raspberry Pi 3 that was still using 32-bit, then I'd say you could make an argument to keep that around. But Raspberry Pi 2 is already, you know, two generations back. So
you sound like somebody who worked at Apple with that kind of attitude, man. I work at Microsoft. We support those things forever.
Yeah, I know. You guys still run on the old Apollo launch computers. Anyway, sorry, just my two cents on that. As someone who has, yes, worked at a company that made very definitive decisions along those lines, but who no longer does. Okay, anything else we need to say on that? Okay, I will leave that alone then. Pony Lang mode. Character literals containing a single quotation mark throw off syntax highlighting. That's 157. Oh, I see. Okay, yeah. That's a thing. Anybody want to have anything they want to say on that?
I have nothing beyond what I did write. Did I write stuff on there, or was that in Zulip where I put it?
You did not write anything on this. So if you
I mentioned to whomever there, I feel like, and I could be wrong because I am far from an Emacs mode expert, but years ago when I was doing the Pony Lang mode for a bit, I feel like I was having problems with dealing with stuff like this. And it was because the basic font lock mode stuff that most people use to write their modes kind of works, but sort of, but not really, with relation to a few things with quotation marks, some indentation stuff and everything. And there was some other some other library that somebody had written, which I can't think of the name, and I spent like a decent amount of time trying to find, that is more powerful for writing Emacs modes. And I looked into that, but I don't remember what it was called. And I never actually did it, because when I asked a couple questions about it on the Emacs channel in Freenode, it was the Emacs channel in Freenode. And basically people told me clearly I was not very smart, because everything that I needed to know was in the documentation, and they weren't going to help me if I needed to ask a question like that. And so I gave up on it. So this may be difficult to fix. It may not be. There might be some other little thing. I remember that in relation to dealing with quotes, and particularly doc strings, that font lock mode was really problematic, and that when I would fix one bug, it would just create another. Somebody who's much better at it than me might find a way around that, or it might be that somebody's going to have to go and either effectively write a parser and everything from scratch in order to do it, or figure out what that library was that I found that used to be linked to from a whole bunch of. So you want to write a Emacs major mode thing, but that I can't find anymore. So in other words, this might not be easy to fix.
I remember that thing because I think you asked me to look into it, and I didn't have the bandwidth to really do anything with it.
Was that one of my, I can't figure this out, Andy, can you take a look and maybe you can get me unblocked kind of thing?
I think it might have been.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. And I never got unblocked, and yeah, I gave up, and I knew when I was venturing into the Emacs IRC channel that I was in trouble, because I've never had a good experience in Emacs IRC. So, but I tried.
Well, yeah. Okay. The last issue that we have is the Last Week in Pony issue exists. So be aware of that. Okay, so that's it. That is what we have for the week. Is there anything else that anyone would like to discuss today?
Actually, that Last Week in Pony is for last week, right? It's late.
Oh, you're right. It is. This is last week in Pony.
Is there anything in it? I'm guessing Theo didn't get to it. I mean, well, clearly he didn't get to it.
Red.
Yeah, Red had something in here.
All right.
You want to ping Theo on that?
Yeah, can you ping him, or does anybody have time? I don't today to make a last week in Pony for this.
I don't have time. If somebody else,
okay.
Does anybody else have any time to do that?
Can you ping Theo?
I think I recall him saying something like he couldn't get to it from the machine that he was on, but he would get to it later this evening if someone hadn't.
That was like two or three weeks ago.
Oh, okay, never mind.
No. I remember that. Yeah, we should probably try to find somebody to take over that, as Theo seems rather busy with all his school stuff right now. We would probably just, you know. He hasn't had time to do any other Pony stuff. He's just been doing the school stuff, but he's kept doing the last week in Pony. But I feel like, you know, it would be nice to take it off his plate so he could just focus on finishing the school stuff. But that would mean finding someone. And I don't know, by the time we find someone, who knows, Theo might then be done. I mean, I don't know when school ends because Drexel had a weird schedule, but I assume it's probably actually like now.
So is this thing with Last Week in Pony easily automated with GitHub Actions? Like maybe doing the from ECU to PR?
Maybe. So no would be the answer. Okay. But it usually doesn't take very much time. It's a small amount of a human's time to do it. Automating it would be more difficult. In order to automate it, there would need to be a way to categorize the things, right? I started working on automating it with Theo, and for that there was a Last Week in Pony repo where you could add things, and each thing that you added was an issue, and then you could put tags on it so that it would be categorized, and then the automated thing could put it into the things. Otherwise, you know, it would basically be, if you wanted to automate it just by taking them and just putting literally bullet points for each one of the things, right, in a template, and then hope that the formatting worked out, then yeah, it would. But otherwise, nah, it doesn't automate well at this point, you know, because, well, you're taking freeform input from human beings.
Yeah. All right. Well, I've pinged him, so see if he writes back. All right. Anything else?
So I can give you this update on the M1 thing. So I posted in Slack a big update about, well, most of the update was me thinking out loud why this FFI thing didn't work until I found the fix. So the issue with so we have with LLVM 11, everything works. There are two things that are still not working. The cycle detector test failed for some reason, but I think that test has given problems in the past.
How does it fail? What does it do?
Just the exit code doesn't match.
Oh, that's, what's it expecting and what does it get? Do you know?
Not really. I think the exit code was a big number. So it was surprising because it didn't seem like a
correct
thing. Then there's another test that is failing with related to exceptions in C++. And that test was already failing on Windows. So there's an if-def to disable that test on Windows. So maybe on ARM64, then this thing also doesn't work. I don't know, and I haven't investigated. So this test, what it does is try to see if an exception thrown from C++ can be caught by Pony or something like this.
I remember that. That test is kind of weird and tricky. That's a test where for any new platform, I wouldn't know whether it's possible to get it working easily on that platform, if it's a sign of it actually being broken, right? I do know that if that test ever fails on like Linux or Mac OS for x86, that something has definitely gone wrong. But there are so many variables that go into whether that works or not. I'm not even sure.
It's also a weird case, right? Because you need to be interfacing via FFI with C++, and then C++ has to be also calling Pony as a library, like for you to want Pony to be rethrowing exceptions. So it's a bit weird.
I would go back and see if you can find the reasoning. I think Benoit added that test, right? It was either Benoit or Sylvan. And go back and look and see if there's reasoning in the PR or the commit comment. And, you know, maybe the trade-offs have changed at this point and we might want to just get rid of it. I mean, like I said, I have no faith, you know, that works from C++ compiler to C++ compiler, for example, right? If it broke when we changed the C++ compiler, I would be looking at the C++ compiler, not at our implementation as being problematic. But there's no guarantee that that would be the case. And this is, I don't know if it's worth having a test for in holding stuff up for that when... it doesn't even seem like that we're testing for something that would be consistent across implementations of compiler and everything.
And then there was a weird thing with the standard library test in debug mode, where sometimes it would segfault when it was trying to print an error. And this was happening because the location, it was trying to print the location of the failing test, and this location was turning to be a null pointer. And I fixed it by removing this strip flag from building this standard library binary. And so for some reason, stripping the binary caused a problem.
I wonder why we were stripping the binary. I mean, there's no guarantee when you strip a binary that you're not going to mess something up. I mean, it's unlikely, right? But there's no guarantee.
Right.
Why were we stripping it?
I don't know. It also made it hard to debug because then I needed to I needed to remove the flag to look at things in LLDB, and then the problem went away. So,
Gordon, do you remember if the strip was there when you switched it over to CMake, or was that something that got added then? I assume it was there.
I believe it was there.
Huh. Oh, this is probably going to be impossible to find from Git history for why it went in there.
Well, in any case, I don't think it should be resolving in a set fault. I don't know. It's surprising.
I mean, if it's segfaulting, it sounds like that I mean, strip is not supposed to, is supposed to leave the minimum required amount behind to, in order to be able to run, right? If it's seg's fault, that sounds to me like it's incorrectly determining what is the minimum required. And maybe that's a strip bug, or maybe that's a problem in our. This was only happening on the M1, right?
Yeah.
And so this problem, we didn't see it on anything other than the M1, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think my guess would be is that there's something where a strip is not correctly handling something about what is required for the format on an M1, right?
Yeah.
That is probably a bug in the tools on M1, and you should remove it and just move on.
Mm-hmm. So how does the compiler strip the binary? Is it implemented in the compiler, or is it using?
I think it's just in the makefile, isn't it? Or is it in the?
It's an ops into Pony.c. So.
Wait, are we doing that in? Okay, hold on. Let me see how that actually works. Strip, wait, where is it? It's a Pony.c option. Where is safe? Blah, 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 blah. Looking for it. Strip right here.
Main file is in line
190. So that would probably be in gen.exe. Okay, here we go. If not, yeah, that calls out to a system command. So, let's see. If it's not strip debug, then
where is it in the compiler?
I'm looking in, there's one usage in gen.exe, which is only on macOS, right? Line 315 in gen.exe. Let's see, but I mean, LLV, it might pass it to LLVM at some point, but that option that's passed to Pony.c. Appears to, okay, and let's see, gen ops. Okay, so we set strip debug to true if we're a release. So it's a debug build that we then do strip on, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so if strip debug is done, then we have a LLVM pass manager thing, which is create strip symbols pass, right? So the bug is probably in there in that one. So let's see. Where is that? Oh, that's an actual, that's an LLVM. That's an LLVM path itself. So yeah. That so either there is a bug in that LLVM path, right? Mm-hmm. Or there's something wrong with the code that we're generating, well, the LLVM that we're generating before it gets to adding that pass in only on M1. Mm.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
On the compiler, I only see this this option that calls to a system command, but I don't see the thing about the.
So the other, it's in gen opt CC
mm-hmm.
on line 14:19.
Oh yeah, actually.
That. So, but this is only happening on. So we have if strip debug, which it is, the strip debug is true, but no. Okay, so this is getting turned on by the release options as well. So it can't be the LLVM. It has to be. It has to be that code in GenEXE. Wait, no, if it's not strip debug. Whoa, wait. No, okay. If it's not, okay. So that code, the code in GenEXE is only if this is not on. So, right.
Hey folks, I have a hard cutoff on the hour. So in like 3 minutes.
Okay.
Can this discussion be taken offline?
Yeah. Yeah. We can continue it also. Virgin. I think it's. I would guess it's an LLVM M1 bug.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But then it should. Let's pick it up elsewhere and let's talk through the. What we're seeing for the cases. I'll just pick this up in the Zulip. All right.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for stopping by, and we'll catch up again next week. All right. I'm going to stop recording.